Great to be here this morning. Emily, got two things to say. Well, probably more, but at least these two. Annyeonghaseyo. And I love that you love your grandparents, but your seat is right here. I don't know what else to say about that. Okay. Wow, we are beginning a new series of sermons this Sunday, and as I have been preparing for the series and for this sermon, the series itself is growing. It might last a couple of decades. This series is called Supporting Roles, and I explained to Mike and Jeanette kind of what the idea of the series is about, and Mike asked if could we have a subtitle, and I thought, yeah, I believe we need a subtitle because supporting roles, what does that mean? And then he came up with this, Lessons Learned from the Lesser Known, which is exactly what we're going to talk about, and yet Mike said it in a cool way because, as most of you know, you can tell by looking at him, Mike is pretty cool. Now, what I mean by that is we're not going to have a sermon about Moses, or and Jesus will kind of be in everything, so don't think that Jesus is not going to be included. We're not going to have a sermon really about Paul exactly. He'll be in some of the stories, but like today's story, but he won't be the main point. And, you know, we're not going to have one about David or Abraham, and probably not Peter either. So we're talking about people who often are overlooked and maybe not even ever even known in the Bible, and kind of, and yet it's not going to be about them. It's not about their biography, who they are and all that. It's more about what part did they play in the message God wants us to hear even today. So we're going to talk about this dude today, this man, okay, called Epaphras. His name is Epaphras, and I struggled about the pronunciation of his name, so I listened to it on several different kind of recordings of how you pronounce this, you know, and they're all different. So I think you can, there's mostly only one way to pronounce Bob. So if he'd had a name like Bob, I'd know for sure, but Epaphras, I'm calling him Epaphras, and I might change from that, but this is it, and the title of the sermon is Always Wrestling. Epaphras. Now then, the story comes from, what we're going to talk about today, it comes from the book of Colossians, and if you want to have a little Colossians, might want to have a Bible open to Colossians. I'm going to read some of it will be on the slides, but we're going to be in Colossians chapter 4. This sermon, though, is about wrestling. It's not about, you know, the kind of wrestling that you might go watch Hulk Hogan back in the day. It's not about that. It's about wrestling in prayer. Wrestling in prayer. And you know, since I have come to CCC and started preaching here on a regular basis in 2017, one of the things we do is we have prayer cards, right? And so right now, I want you to think about, since 2017, who are your prayer cards? You all had them. One of mine that I got early on, I've had several, and sometimes I get some extras just because, you know, there's an extra, and I get an extra. But I had Lucas Walters, and I still have Lucas Walters, because Lucas Walters needs a lot of prayers. Amen? I mean, today he's sick, so he needs our prayers today. But it's been a great joy to pray for Lucas. And the card, I've carried it different places, part of the time, you know, in the bathroom, in the mirror, some of the time on my bed stand next to the bed. So, but Lucas, and this card would remind me about Lucas. Well, in camp, and I was a camp director for nearly 20 years at ACU, when we had our camp staff training, one of the things we would do, we'd have weekly meetings, and in the weekly meetings, we'd talk about what it is to be a counselor at camp, and these lasted for about 8 weeks in the spring semester. About the second or third week in, we would have a retreat, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on Sunday, we would do this thing where we'd have prayer cards. We'd have an empty 3x5 card. And on that 3x5 card, you would write your name, and then you would write, what would you want someone to pray for you if you knew they were going to pray for you every day? So I want you to think about that. If you knew someone was going to pray for you every day, what would you want them to pray for? And you just have a 3x5 card. That's all you got. Well, because I'm a nerdy, I've kept all my cards. So this started in 2000, and it ended in 2012, so I've got 13 cards here. And as I looked through the cards, my second one was Sarah Matthews. I had just met Sarah. She was applied for a camp counselor. I did an interview. I had her on board for a couple of meetings, and then came the retreat, and this was her card. Now then today, her name is Sarah Strader. She's the mother of my grandchildren. So you know that happens. The last card I have is 2012. And on 2012, I'd met the same thing. I'd met this person for the first time in the interview. We had a couple of sessions of camp training, and then we had the retreat, and we had the exercise where, and the way we did it, you'd write your name on the card, then you'd go put your card on a table face down, and as songs were playing, you'd go up and then pick up a card. And you didn't know whose card you were going to get. And you have that card for about 6 more weeks, and you'd pray every day for this person, and then you'd see them. And what amazing thing happens is you start focusing on this person, and you see a lot more about them than what they put on their card. You understand that? And so this person, the last one I have, her name is Kylie Cuevas. And Kylie Cuevas' mom name was Mary Beth, who, you know, now is Mary Beth Strader. So, boom, there you go. Who knows what's going to happen when you start praying for people on a regular basis. But what is this deal about Paul and this letter to the Colossians? So I'm going to talk about that because it's in this context that Epaphras shows up. Let's go ahead and say the name Epaphras. Yeah, that's good. We'll try it like that. So Paul writes this letter to Colossae. Now, Paul is right now in prison in Rome. He's writing a letter. He's got a couple of his buddies with him. Right off the bat at the first, it says he's got Timothy with him. Well, Paul had never been to Colossae. He's writing a church in Colossae. He's writing, and by the way, you know, we call them books of the Bible, but Paul never wrote a book in the Bible. He never wrote a single book in the Bible. He wrote letters. You know, books are in libraries. Letters go to people. He didn't write any books. He wrote letters. And so he's writing a letter to a place he's never been, but he knew the people because while he was in Ephesus, which is about a 4-day walk, about 100 miles away, not quite, and people would come because they heard about Paul. They'd come from Colossae, listen to Paul, and then they'd go back and they started a church in Colossae because of the things they heard Paul say. Now he's writing them because a couple of the people from Colossae have come now to Rome and they're visiting him in prison. He's hanging out with him. He's in more like house arrest, and so that's where he is. He's in Colossae. That's the church in Colossae. And he is going to tell them some issues they've got. And the way he knows about this is because Epaphras is from Colossae. And Epaphras is a friend of Paul's, and at the end of his letter, the letter gets personal. He starts talking about people's names. And he gets to this verse, these verses. And so in verse 12, it starts out, Epaphras, okay, who is one of you. He's one of you guys. He is a servant of Christ Jesus, and he sends his greetings. And then it says, he's always wrestling in prayer for you. What does that mean? What does that look like? That he's wrestling in prayer for you. Like, what has he got you in a headlock or what? You know, what is this deal? He's wrestling in prayer for you. I think this is something we want to be. It says he's a servant. He cares about you. He's sending greetings. And he says he's wrestling in prayer. And he says this, so that you may be, that you may stand firm. Okay? So in his wrestling, he stand firm. I want you to stand firm. And then he says that you would be mature and that you would be fully assured, that you would be confident, that you'd know what's going. So I want to talk about, what does it look like? Well, prayer, period, much less wrestling. So we're wrestling in prayer. And so maybe sometimes I'm going to be wrestling in prayer for Kevin. What does that mean? First of all, do I think prayer changes things? Does it matter? Am I just talking to the air? Hey, what's going on? Does prayer matter? Well, in Paul's letters, and he has prayers in all of his letters, he writes these prayers like he's counting on it. He thinks, yeah, I'm praying about this. It's going to happen. He prays for himself. He prays for other people. Same with Jesus. Jesus had a couple of prayers in the gospel, the prayer we use today. Right, Jeanette? The unity prayer. Long prayer. He acts as if it's going to happen. But you know, sometimes when we're asking, an answered prayer doesn't always mean you're going to get your own way. Does that, you understand here? Sometimes you're going to ask God, and he may not do it the way you want him to. This is what happened to Jesus. Three times in the garden, he prays, right? Let this cup pass from me. Did God answer his prayer? Yes. Did the cup pass? No. He answered the prayer. He did things in Jesus. He did things with Jesus that were beyond Jesus' prayer. God answered his prayer. He just didn't answer it in the exact way that Jesus wanted it to happen. Because Jesus at that moment, he wanted out. God answered the prayer. No, because I got these people here sitting in Arlington who need you to go to the cross. Amen? And so you're going to go, but I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to raise you. So God is answering the prayer, not what Jesus was asking for, but even beyond that. Jesus was wrestling in prayer, sweat like blood. Well, Paul too. Paul, in one of his letters, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he says, I have this thorn in the flesh. I don't know what that meant, but it's bad. I don't know what the thorn in the flesh was, but it's bad. It's a bad thing. You didn't want it. Was it something about a relationship? Was it something physical? Was it something emotional or spiritual? I don't know. Was he suffering with, you know, depression? Was he suffering from cancer? Was he suffering from a friend who had betrayed him? I don't know. But it was bad, and he says, take it from me. Take it from me. Three times. Paul says, get this, and God says, no. And Paul says, but his prayer to, in God answering no, he learned that when Paul, he says, when I'm weak, God is strong. And God does his best work through me when I'm weak, not when I'm strong. So God answered the prayer. He just didn't take the thorn out. Same thing with us. Now, sometimes some prayers aren't going to get answered. And Jesus talks about some of those prayers in Matthew 6. He says, some people come to pray because it's just a show. I'm just showing off in my prayer with my fancy words. God's not answering that prayer. James says, I'm not going to answer a prayer because you're praying just about your own selfish needs. I'm not answering that prayer. There's some prayers that don't get answered, that God's not, because he's not listening to those, because you're praying for the wrong reason in the wrong way. Now, not that there's just some special secret way to pray, but your heart has to be in this prayer. It has to be pure and unselfish. You're praying, and this was Epaphras. He's wrestling for his people because he loves them, because they're enduring some hardships, which is going on in the rest of the book of Colossians that is told about. He said, Epaphras, over these issues, he's wrestling in prayer for you. He's asking God to work. I believe God works when we pray. So, for instance, I'm okay with this. Some people will come up to me and say, you know, Mary Beth, by the way, is having knee surgery this week. Thursday, knee replacement, Vicky. Say amen. No, don't say, oh boy. And some people want to say, tell Mary Beth I'm thinking about her. Well, that's cool that you're thinking about her, but I'd much rather you be praying about her. You know, you can think about her all you want. Good thought. Some people say, hey, listen, send Mary Beth good thoughts. I said, what's a good thought, you know, that the Yankees won yesterday? I mean, what do you mean? What's a good thought? Send some good thoughts. I want you to pray. That's what I want to happen. Because I think God listens to your prayer. And he might not answer it the way you're asking it, but he's going to answer it in his own even better way. And sometimes his better way is looking hard. Paul and that thorn, he said, dadgummit, that thorn is still in me, whatever it is. But I trust God. I'm going to keep praying. I want you guys to pray for Mary Beth. You can think good thoughts as well. I do. So here's a question today. Who wrestles in prayer for you? Is there somebody right now today praying for you? Not just praying your name in the list, but they know you. They know what's going on in your life. They know where you're weak. They know where you struggle. They know some of the burdens that you're carrying. And they're wrestling in prayer for you. So I would teach this in my sophomore Bible classes at ACU. And so we'd go through this. And at this point, I'd say, who is wrestling for you? And I'd have them write it down, a little survey. And overwhelming, if we were doing Family Feud, we'd say, the survey says, being number one answer, moms. Moms are praying. I know my mom's praying. I don't know what dad is doing. My parents, they're praying for me. I know my mom is praying for me. I want to sort of expand that there's other people that are praying, that are wrestling in prayer for you. Who are those people? Here's what I want to know too, though. Sometimes we need to ask somebody to pray for us. And here's how we often do it. It's not hard. I already did it for Mary Beth, right? I said, would y'all please pray for Mary Beth? She's having knee surgery on Thursday. And you wouldn't mind asking someone to, if I have some physical problem, you would easily say, hey, would you guys pray for me? I have this problem. Whatever it is, I'm sick. I have COVID. I broke my ankle. Pray for my recovery. Here's what I think. Would this be also something good you might do? Would you ask someone to help you grow spiritually? That I would say, I'm struggling with this temptation today, this month, this week, through my life. Would you pray for me about that? I'm having a hard time trusting God. Can you pray about that for me? Could you come to someone and ask them, rather than just to heal your body, that they would pray for the healing of your soul? Could we do that? Could we love and trust and know each other where I could say, could you pray for me? Because life is hard and I'm about to give up on God. My marriage is in trouble and I need help. My feelings for my spouse are gone cold. Could you pray for my marriage? My child has gotten into stuff that's way beyond me and it's above my ability to cope with, and I don't know what to do. Could you pray for that? Could we wrestle in prayer beyond just the fact that Mary Beth's having knee surgery? Even though definitely I want you to think good thoughts, and I also want you to pray for Mary Beth's knee. Sometimes you pray like that and it seems like God doesn't answer. Here's some advice. Don't give up. You look at the unity prayer and you see God hadn't even answered that prayer. Right? You talk about unanswered prayer. It's the John 17 unity prayer. Jesus prayed it anyway. Did Jesus know that this prayer might not turn out exactly like he thinks it was hoping? I think he knew that. He prayed it anyway. There's a parable in Luke 18 about the woman, and the reason he says, I'm going to tell you this story, and I'm going to tell you this story about this woman who prays because I want you to keep praying and not give up. That's what it says. So keep praying, keep wrestling, even though it doesn't seem like it's doing much. But here's another one. Not only who wrestles in prayer for you, but who do you wrestle for? Right off the bat, I'm going to say my kids Avery's here with me today. I've got knee blisters praying for Avery for 24 years and more. Prayed for Avery. And God has answered those prayers. Not 100% the way I was hoping or expecting, but God has been at work, and I've been able to see that happen. But that's not all. Man, I wrestled in prayer for Lucas Walters. And my relationship, my feelings for him is huge, and some others of you in this room too. I've prayed for you in this wrestling for prayer way, and now I love you like you're my own. Because I spent time wrestling for you. Who could you wrestle in prayer for? So, for Epaphras, here's what he prayed for them. That they would stand firm, that they would mature, that they would be growing in their faith, and that they would be fully assured, that they'd be confident that God loved them and was always with them. That's what he prayed. Is that a good prayer for me to pray for you? Would anybody like for me to pray for you that you would stand firm, grow spiritually, and that you would be confident in God's love? Yeah, I want that prayer. I want that prayer. Well, sometimes you don't have to ask for the prayer request to pray. You can just pray it anyway. So this young man who was also worked for me, after he'd worked for me, he went to grad school, he was in grad school, he was married. I performed his wedding ceremony. This happened 17 years ago because he just reminded me about it, about his wedding about 3 weeks ago. But there was a time he'd been married for a couple of years. He was in grad school getting an MDiv. He was going to be a preacher. And he came to my office about 5 o'clock, said, I need to talk to you about something serious. And he talked to me about this dream he'd been having. And the dream was of him in a bathtub, awake, his eyes open, but he couldn't breathe. And as he began to unfold that dream, he told me that he's struggling in his faith. He didn't really know if he even believed in God anymore. And he was struggling with his marriage, and even though he hadn't told anybody either one of these, because, you know, what's he going to be, a preacher who doesn't believe in God? Well, there may be some of those, by the way, but he was struggling with that. And he was struggling in his marriage, and he told me, I've never told anybody this, but I just don't feel the same way towards my wife as I did, as I want to. I don't know what I'm going to do. And honestly, I don't want to tell anybody this. I'd rather die than anybody know these things. And so we talked for about an hour and a half, and we just talked back and forth and listened. And as we walked out, he said, that's very helpful today, but I'm still not settled, so can we talk more? I said, yeah, we can talk more. We're walking out towards the parking lot, and we're almost there. And he says, you know, Bob, I really appreciate that you didn't just pray for me, that you didn't pray for me back there in the room. And I said, well, what makes you think I didn't? Because I got to tell you, to be honest, I was praying for you the whole time. I was praying for me, because what you were talking to me about was way above my pay grade. And we laughed, and we kept meeting. And weeks later, he said, you know, kid, we have a prayer this time. Currently, he's planted a church in Fort Smith, Arkansas. They're in their fourth year of that church is growing and growing. He's got kids. His wife and him love each other. Pray for people. God's at work. Now, that doesn't mean every time that works out that way. But God is at work. He's left us human beings with this thing called, you know, free will and choice. But God is at work in our hearts, in our minds. And I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for Mary Beth's knee too. One of the ways we pray is when we sing. I don't know if you do this, but when we're singing, a bunch of these songs are just flat out prayers. That's what will happen right now. We're going to sing Waymaker. And as we sing the song, you're going to hear your need perhaps addressed. Or perhaps as you are listening to this song and singing this song, what you might think of is a person who needs your prayers. And they need them in specifically this way, that Jesus is going to make a way. And he's going to answer our prayer. And so we're going to get on this. Now, let me just say this about Epaphras. Back to Epaphras. This was just the intro to Epaphras. Sorry. We're going to have a little bit more next week about what did that prayer look like. Because there's lessons about the exact things he prayed and the ways he thought in the Bible. And so a little more on Epaphras. But today we're going to sing Waymaker. And then after that, we'll have another prayer.